Great. It is excellent to see everybody. And ready to dive back into Siman Kuf Ayin Tes. There's a lot going on here. Last week in Chabur, we had a chance to begin Kuf Ayin Tes and to look at primarily the issue of Nichush, and which includes one of the meanings of Ma'onen. And last week, we had a chance to take a look at the question of superstition, which flows over largely Seif and Beis, Gimel and Dalet. And there's a tremendous amount, as we began to see last week, there's a long list of Lav and Daraisa that that are covered over the course of the Siman. So I'd like to see some today. If there's interest, I'd be glad to have another Chabur on Monday and see if we can cover more, because I imagine we're not going to cover everything over the course of today. So you'll let me know if that timing works. But let's turn our attention here back to Siman Kuf Ayin Tes. Number one, I just want to maybe begin by going back to the opening sif. Even though we had seen the opening sif last week, we had opened last week with Tamim Tihye, that pasuk that comes at the end of the parsha in Shoftim, which we saw is Machlokes Rambam and Ramban, whether it's a it should be counted in the meaning of mitzvahs. Now the Ramban has said, look, the Gemara mentions not to ask the chosen, but the kaldoi, not to ask astrologers about the future. That's a violation of Tamim Tihye. That's the way the Tosas read that Gemara, that kaldoi is a reference to astrologers. And the Ramban had quoted that, had counted that as a mitzvah. As a mitzvah asay, an iser asay, or perhaps a mitzvah, kiyum asay. A kiyum asay, to be tamim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It said, to enhance, to strengthen one's emunah and hashgacha pratis, and not to be drawn after this other type of occult prediction of the future. While the Rambam had not counted it, Rambam not counted it as a mitzvah. What I did not speak about last week is that the Shach draws our attention to the discussion that's already going on in the Beis Yosef. The Truman Sadesh, and I had a chance to look at this Truman Sadesh inside with some of you early this week over the course of afternoon Seder. The Truman Sadesh felt that it was actually mutter. Truman Sadesh seemed to have the opinion that strictly speaking, there's no, it's not a good idea, but there's no no Easter involved, in reaching out to astrologers. That's clearly against the position of Ramban. That's a violation of an Easter essay. At first glance, it might look like that's the Truman Sadesh lines up with the Rambam, but the truth is, it's against the Shitas Rambam as well. Rambam doesn't count Tamim Tihye as an Easter assay, but he does in talking about the Easter of Kosem, the Lav of Kosem, which is predicting the future. The Rambam includes in, let's take a look right here. Here in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Chukos Hagoyim, in Perek Yud Alef, he begins Kosem Halacha Vav. And he makes reference here to asking the Hovrei HaShemayim. And not only that, but he also makes the point that it's usher to ask. And the Truman Sadeshan had argued, look, the Isser of Kosem is to actually predict the future, but if I'm just a client, it should be mutter. But the Rambam is clear in Halacha Zayin, Asur L'Ksom V'L'Sh'ol L'Kosem. The Lav covers both. He says, you do not get Malkus if you're a Shoel L'Kosem. If I'm a client of an astrologer, the Rambam gives a lot of examples of Kosem, and he's even more expansive to say for our mitzvahs. It's actually interesting, a lot of bits of medieval popular culture that's preserved in nursery rhymes, all of a sudden sounds familiar. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Or that image of someone looking into a crystal ball. So the Rambam discusses that briefly here, and he discusses it at greater length in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Those were classical examples of Kosem. And Rambam explains that what was going on was not, they didn't claim to be seeing anything in the mirror or seeing anything in the crystal ball. Rambam explains that it was a way of getting into a meditative trance. That's what he describes. He describes Mistakel b'marashel barzel o ashoshes umidamim v'omrim. So though he talks about doing something with a stick, which is, I think, preserved in some Eastern occult traditions where they have this like rhythmic banging. And that's meant to get you into a meditative trance. And the Rambam is saying is getting involved in non-Jewish traditions of meditation could easily lead to many different lavin d'oraisa, including kosim. As an aside, it should be clear, Ari Kaplan makes the point in a number of places, in many of his writings, that meditation per se is not an avera. Meditation per se is not inherently chukas akim or worse. As a matter of fact, mainstream sources, as in the Rambam, the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch, all discuss what clearly is a reference to meditation in the context of hilchas tefillah. And that's the way they understand the Rambam, Ben Yon, and others understand, for instance, what the Tanam tells about the Chassidim HaRishonim, Shon Shachas of Neitz Filasan, that definitely was meditative, and being thinking in a very focused way can definitely be a part of one's Avodas Hashem. It can also be an avera. Right? Eating can be a mitzvah. Eating can be an avera. That's pretty elementary. So that's true here as well. So there definitely is Jewish meditation. Tefillah is supposed to be a meditative experience. Kriya Shema is supposed to be a meditative experience. The very word kavana, which means direction, directed thinking, definitely bespeaks that basic idea. But there's plenty of non-Jewish traditions of meditation, which are often either avodah zarah related or related to one of these isurim and kufa and tes, specifically kosim. So if one is interested in integrating meditation in one's avodah Hashem, it is of critical importance, I think goes without saying, has to be the training and derivation has to be entirely from Jewish sources. That's where the Rambam, again, but coming back, so the Rambam talks about meditation and trances in the context of of this love of Kosim. The Smak adds a prediction via Shadim. And again, the Rambam stresses that it's usher both to be Kosim, to be the predictor, or to be the one who's asking the predictor. He further references astrology later when he discusses Ma'onin in Halachates. But again, the Rambam is clear that to ask to be a client, even though I'm not doing the occult prediction, that is part of the Lav D'Oraisa. The Rambam goes on to say, L'shitaso, that as I said before, you get Malkus only if you're the Kosim, not if you're the Sho'al Kosim. That's Rambam L'shitaso in many places. Rambam understood that Lav Shein B'Maisa is not a Lav by Lav determination, but a case by case determination. So that's why, for instance, in a more typical context, the Rambam talks about the Isra of Onin Chametz by Rabbi Matzeh. So Rambam says, sometimes you get Malkus, sometimes you don't. Usually, Onin Chametz on Pesach, something one does passively. I neglected to destroy it before Pesach. In that case, Rambam says, Ein Lokin. But if I actually actively buy Chametz on Pesach, or make chametz on Pesach, so then I would be loka. That's the standard sheet of the Rambam. The lav shem b'maisa, it's not a label on the lav, it's a determination on the case-by-case basis. That's what Rambam says. If I'm the client of a kosim, if I go to visit someone who reads tea leaves or reads tarot cards or predicts the future based on astrology or horoscopes, so I don't get malchus because I didn't do a maisa. And he or she will get malchus if he or she did do a ma'isa. Again, that does not. That's a jealousy drama about lav shem ma'isa that does not speak to a lessening of the lav itself. So again, it's clear from the Rambam that to be kosim and to be shol kosim both are parts of the lav d'oraisa, and as such, coming back to Sif Aleph, when the Shach and Beis Yosef are talking about this trumas hadashen for the mikra din, it should be mutter to ask questions of an astrologer, Again, the Rambam's approach to Tamtia is still not a good idea. It's setting up a certain halachic value system. It's definitely a violation of the spirit of the law. Shmuel Hadesh is only willing to make a b'malkum tzarach gadol. But that approach, even to think that it's mutter, even in terms of the letter of the law, is neither the Ramban nor the Rambam. The Rambam wouldn't say it's Tamtia, but it would say it's a violation of Kosem. It may be Rashi. It could be that transition does relate back to Rashi, because again, Rashi and Tosfos have machlokas, and that's how we began last time and this time, how to translate the word kaldoi. The Torah, where the Gemara says you cannot ask questions of kaldoi because of Tavimtiyah. So Tosfos had said that's a reference to astrologers. Rashi had said, no, Rashi and that Gemara said that it's Ov. We know that being Shol Ov is a Veir Chamur. So it's curious that it should be Tavimtiyah. But either way, Rashi, Rambam is not the only one who understands that Tamtia does not forbid speaking to astrologers. Rashi also does, and we don't have Rashi necessarily on record saying that's a violation of Kosim. So it could be true as Hadeshan aligns with that Rashi. Halacha Lamasa, the Shach points out we are the vast majority of Poskim, Rishonim, and Achronim reject this approach of the Trumas Hadeshin. As we said, it runs askance both of the Ramban on the one hand and the Rambam on the other hand. In other words, they would both hold that even to ask is forbidden. This is something which does come up. Now, you might be thinking, listening to me talk about this, you're wondering, why are we starting with this again? It seems so irrelevant, but the truth is, it unfortunately is plenty relevant. There are plenty of people out there who seek out psychics. There are plenty of people out there who read the horoscopes. There are plenty of people out there who, as well, who seek this out in a different flavor. There are also people who seek out supposed tzaddikim, quote-unquote, who will predict the future for them. And the Dark Yeshiva I've sent you to already several times in the course of this year, Dark Yeshiva is a likut, a Mishnah Berurah-style likut of Poskim, on the first 200 or so simanim of Yerideya, around the first half of Yerideya, collected by the Minkat Sherebbe, one of the great Hungarian Chassidus Sherebbes. And he quotes the Tuv Tam V'Das here in Kufa Intesiv Kanvav. He quotes from the Tuv Tam V'Das about this, talking about this reality well over 100 years ago, that people were drawn to all sorts of supposed tzaddikim, really charlatans. He talks about table turning, seances. He gives you a long description of it. So this was like a new fad that developed in the time of the Tuv Tam V'Das, and he decries it. And he says, yeah, you hear that they're tzaddikim and Eretz Yisrael are supposedly doing things like this. He says, if they're actually doing things like this, they're not tzaddikim. And it's either a violation of Kosen, violation of Tamtia, certainly a violation of Halacha for the predictor, that's for sure. And according to the vast majority of poskim, it's also a violation of halacha for me to seek them out. And the Tuv Tam V'Das is very vehement. Is doche b'shtei yadayim? He says, Tamim Tia. What do you mean, Tamim Tia? Tamim Tia api halacha. Certainly Tamim Tia in terms of the value system of halacha. And again, that's the Ramah and that's the Shach. It's the Shulchan Aruch. We reject this sort of thing. That's number one. As see, even Beis Gimel Dal, we discussed extensively last time in terms of the Easter of Nichush, of superstition, and Ma'onein, as you saw in Sanhedrin, Ma'onein Machlokas HaTanam, how to translate the word Ma'onein, whether it's Milashin, the two main approaches are Bekivin HaChachamim, either it's a Milashin Ayin or Milashin Ona. If it's a Milashin Ona, time, it means to be superstitious about times, which was a major theme in superstition. Astrology, clearly, as Rambam points out, astrology is a big piece of that. Because remember, astrology is a superstitious use of astronomy. But astronomy, and when you look at the sky, that was the earliest way, and remains a key way of telling time and measuring time. So to be superstitious about astronomy, in other words, to be astrological, is to be essentially superstitious about time. And you can say, well, when Mars is here, when the moon is there, those are good times, bad times. That's a major sub-branch of Nichush, is that approach to Ma'onen. The Ma'onen means is Milashen Ona. The other sense is Milashen Ayin. So that we will get to, that we'll get to further on. Yeah, Asher, question. I'm not sure. I appreciate the question. We'll get to either today or Mirtz Hashem on Monday. Will probably be the last sif that we look at in the siman. One of the last sifim in the siman. In the sif tezvav, there's a distinction drawn between Kishuf or Achizah Zainayim versus Sefer Yetzira. The Shach speaks there at some length. The Sefer Yudches, that if you access, this whole siman is talking about accessing the occult. If it's being done through valid Liman HaKabbalah, so then it's at least in principle legitimate. That's based on the Gemara. But the Shach reminds us that this is the Shtamash B'Taga Chalef, based on the Mishnah and Perek Yavis. You have to be initiated to really understand Kabbalah. And certainly Kabbalah Ma'as is practical Kabbalah, the Shach writes, is something that one would only, even if one is on the level, that one could access that sort of thing, that's only something to use B'makam Mitzvah Rabbah. So this material is out of my ken, way, way out of my ken. I'm not familiar with that in the context of astrology. Yossi, did you have a question? Okay. So now the next of the surim after Lavan and Kufay and Tess, after Menachesh, is Chover Chover. Intriguing. Seems very detailed at first. Shulchan Aruch tells us and that's based on the Gemara. The Zayde Lachash Mekabetz Chayos on Nachashim VaKrab Miyutushim Paroshim. It says through some sort of incantation or spell, I'm Chover Chover. I'm being Mechaber. I'm gathering together the animals. Now, Rambam, if you take a look, Rambam understands that's an example. That's one example, and what it means more generally is using spells. Using spells in some sort of magical way. Spells, incantations, abracadabra. And once again, the Rambam reviews once again his general sheet that all the things don't really work. There's no actual substance to any of this. But going through these motions is going to be a violation of Chover Chover. And the Gemara says, you saw the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Aleph, based on some quotes, this is also a Gemara to see increases Daf Gimel. That sometimes you can be lochesh afilu b'Shabbos. Afilu b'Shabbos. So what does that mean? So the different approaches in Rishonim, how to understand that. That you're allowed to be lochesh, and you're even allowed to be lochesh on Shabbos. Both points. So Rashi there says, Rashi, you look in the Sanhedrin, Rashi Yad Rama. So Rashi says, it's not the Shabbos is apparently there's a double concern, but both of them are not relevant. Right? It's not a problem of Chover Chover. You have these animals around you want to get rid of. And it's not a problem of some Isser Shabbos or another. So what Isser Shabbos would it even have been? So Rashi there says, oh, it would have been a Malach of Tzad. It sounds like if I were to, let's say, have a snake charmer who's going to trap a snake in place, that would be Tzad. But here, the scenario of the Gemara Togah Sanhedrin is the reverse. I'm not trying to keep them in place. I'm trying to get them away, trying to send them away. So that's not Tzad. I'm sending them away from me. Tzad is when you capture, when you trap an animal. And the Yad Rama explains that's also why it's not Chover Chover. Chover Chover is Milashin Chibur. You're gathering them together. If you're getting them away with your Lachash, so it's Mutter. Rama Lashitaso needs to have a different approach to both of these. Rama Shitalsa has a different approach to the Shabbos issue because he holds that this is all nonsense. It's not actually effective. And the question of, and the Rama also has a more expansive, just so, a more expansive understanding of what Chover, they saw it in Halacha Yud, Perek Yud Halacha Yud, is using incantations. So why should it matter you bring the animals together or sending them away? So that's what you see in Halacha, in Siv Vav in the Shulchan Aruch, is based on the Rambam. Mishneshachav Akrav, Mutter L'choshal Avafil B'Shabbos. A fellow was stung by a scorpion. That's potentially toxic. So you are allowed to recite a lachash, even on Shabbos. Why? So here the Rambam explains, and this seems to be his approach to what appears in Siv Zayin. So Rambam says that it's mutter. Why? It doesn't work. It's ineffective. These lachashim do nothing. This is one of the places where this is where the Shulchan Aruch clearly quotes the Rambam's position that all this is, that all the kishuv is nonsense, and that's why it's here in Sif Katan Yud Gimel, right over on location, where the Vilna Gaon launches a famous attack on that approach of the Rambam. The Rambam says if it's pointless, why are you doing it? But since a fellow is in mortal danger, he's in mortal danger because he got stung by a toxic scorpion. So we're not sure if he's going to pull through or not. So you're allowed to violate the Iser of Chover Chaver, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, not Pikuach Nefesh, that I think that it's actually going to like biochemically help me, the Chover Chaver, but I think it might psychologically help. Now, this is going to be, Rambam essentially is saying, this is a placebo effect. If this fellow believes in the Lachash, even though you and I know that it's all nonsense, but this is going to calm him down, and calming him down, when he's just been stung by a poisonous scorpion, maybe the difference in life and death. So Rambam said that the Lachash has no actual physical, material impact, but it can have a psychological impact. Because if this person believes in it, and this will calm him down, so then normally it would be a lav deraisa, but mishum pikuach nefesh is mutter. So this is a important Rambam on a lot of levels. And it's one of the sources of the Rambam's idea, again, not the only one. He sees this entire parak as all these isurim are pure nonsense. It's not that the Torah forbade something which works. It's Torah forbade something which is ineffective and meaningless. And number two, this is one of the important sources that mental health could be an aspect of pikuach nefesh. In other words, that the halacha recognizes that when a person is, and even mental health as a peripheral aspect. In other words, the sakana here is poison. That the fellow was bitten by a scorpion, but we recognize that the psychological aspect of one's body's reaction and that putting him into a calmer frame of mind may enable him to pull through, and therefore we would say, yes, the het to pikuach nefesh is doch the Easter of chover chaver. Now, the Rambam also is going to need to explain, what do you mean I feel b'Shabbos? What do you mean I feel b'Shabbos? What does that mean? So that requires explanation as well. So the Rambam says, that's what the Shach quotes. The Shach quotes, b'shem beis yosef, shach sivkan ches, I feel b'Shabbos, the aser laharbas besicha. You could have imagined that this would be, you know, the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Shabbos discusses the sorts of conversations that one is or is not permitted to have. He sends you to Archaim Shimon Shin Zayin. Toskos Yerushalmi. Really, should have limited even casual conversation on Shabbos. So the Shach quotes Vezozev, maybe that's what the Gemara means. Even on Shabbos, when there's a limit to what we say, and maybe one could imagine this would be Uvdu Duchol, could imagine this would be a violation of Duchol, but it's a question of forbidden speech. It's not a question of Malacha. That's, again, consistent with the Rambam. And that point made for mental health, that's, I believe, is a Bach. The Bach here makes that point. Some ask the question, of course is mutter. Pekuch nefesh, of course, is mutter. So he says, no, the tier of hadas, that mental health aspect, that the reducing anxiety, makom pekuch nefesh, that falls under the category of pekuch nefesh, that's also that is the chiddush of the Gemara, according to the Rambam's understanding. That's the chiddush of the Gemara, filu b'shabbos. That also falls under the rubric of pikuach nefesh. Let's just wrap up this discussion with Sif Zayin. The problem is the Gemara. You saw the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says it's aser. Here, Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter to be mechaber to avoid getting hurt by this dangerous snake, by the dangerous scorpion. But the Gemara says is aser lechaber, even if your kavana is shelo yazik. So the Shulchan Aruch is presenting based on this line. Of Shulchan Aruch seems to be aligned. Take a look at the Shachs of Kantas. Right? Obviously, there's a concern of Pikuach Nefesh. So Rashi says, Rashi there explains, that's what the Shulchan Aruch is quoting. Rashi says that. That the only time the Gemara said you shouldn't be mechaber even for dangerous snakes and scorpions is when they're not right after me. They're over there and I'm over here. There's no reason to assume that they're going to come after me. I can just calmly walk away without having to involve myself in a law of Daraisa. So Rashi says if there's a potential sakana and there are two ways to solve it, I can solve it beheter or I can solve by violating the doing of my sister. So, if they're equally effective, then I have no right to violate the iser. Right? If a person is in desperate need of food, it's a life-threatening situation, and we have both kosher and non-kosher food accessible, and it won't take longer to give them the kosher food. Of course, you give them the kosher food. Of course, there's no heter to give them the non-kosher food when there's kosher food which is equally accessible. If there's a concern that waiting for the kosher food will delay things, and then the safas akaz nefasha, then obviously we tell you to take the non-kosher option. But if they're both equally accessible, and there's no reason, there's no pikuach nefesh aspect served by taking the non-kosher option, so pikuach nefesh obviously does not matir isurim shelo lutzorach. So Rashi understands the Gemara saying, Gemara is saying if they're einam rotzim acharai, that's Rashi's ukimta. And the Gemara says aser, it's einam rotzim acharav. But if they're rotzim acharav, they're actually right after me. Then of course it's mutter because of pikuach nefesh. And the Bach points out that the Rambam does not make that ukimta pshat that Rashi's. Rambam doesn't limit the Gemara, and that's Rambam l'shitaso. Because we just saw before in the previous sif, that Rambam assumes that these lachashim aren't actually effective in any material, physical, biological basis. So rutz and acharav, they're running after me. At that point, the goal is to keep the snakes away from me. The Rambam says lachashim don't do anything. Why would you violate, let's say, an alachash for no good reason? If they already bit, and now it's a question of helping the patient, now it's a medical question, of helping the patient heal and survive the toxin. At that point, the psychological benefit of the placebo effect that will flow from using the lachash, at that point, it's relevant. But because if I haven't yet been bitten by the snake, so the Rambam says there is no positive impact of the lachash per se, and therefore there's no reason to allow it, even beratzin acharav. Yeah, Asher, you've been waiting for a question. I'm sorry. Oh, that's an interesting question. Asher's point making an important point. Asher's pointed out that we've been assuming very smoothly here that all these isurim are mutter b'makam pikuach nefesh, and again that's a theme that has come up repeatedly over the course of the siman. Why is that even so pashut, especially l'fi the Rambam, that they all fall under the larger rubric of sort of like a srach avodah zarah. So why not say maybe kishuv should be harig val yavar? Maybe it should be harig val yavar as a abizrayu avodah zarah. So there is debate amongst Rishonim whether, in terms of the Gimel Chamuras are Doche, the Gimel Chamuras are not Nidchim B'Pnei Pikuach Nefesh, Gil Rai Shvich Hazdam B'Avodah Zarah. There is debate amongst Rishonim about whether Abizrayu are included, to have an Isser that's related. The Rishonim discuss in Sanhedrin, and in Sora Morah and elsewhere, let's say, no one is forcing me to worship Avodah Zarah, but under pain of death I'm being forced to provide materials to be used for Avodah Zarah, or something like that. So we would say that's also that Yahar Vayavar. Say Yahar Vayavar, I'm not actually being open to Avodah Zarah. Right? Rishonim discuss how about Abizrayu de Gilat Rayos. Rishonim discuss, am I allowed to run into to a church to save one's life if I know that the pursuer would not attack me if I took asylum in a church? So does that, am I allowed to seek asylum in a church? I'm not going to actually worship the Avodah Zarah, but seek asylum in a church, is that a violation? Would I say, look, Pikul Nefesh is Doche, or do I say that's, it's not Avodah Zarah, but it's Abizrayu Avodah Zarah? So that is the Machlokas Rishonim. So there are those who assume that it's Abizrayu is not B'Yahar V'Yavar. Even those who assume that it is B'Yahar V'Yavar, the question then becomes, where do you draw the line? How broadly do you spread the net of Abizrayu? I think it's not hard to make the argument that Kishuv and Nichush and so forth are too distant to be considered Abizrayu. That is what appears to emerge here. I should note also at times that will come up as an afkamina. Maybe we'll get to there's a practice out there called consegrity. consegrity, I believe is how it's spelled, consegrity, is this belief that one can channel energy into other people and somehow help them or save them. So I think there are posts can hold that's mutter. Our posts can hold that's not necessarily a violation of any of these yisurim. But I believe it's reported that Belsky was Masupuk, whether it's Avodah Zarah or Kishuv. That's both pretty severe, right? And they really believe that they can like heal people from a distance. They could talk to you on the phone, 1,000 miles away, and then somehow they'll channel energy towards you and heal. So those who assume it's Aser, so the question is, well, which Iser is it? So Rebelsky said, you know, Safik, whether it's Kishuv or Avodah Zarah, and what's a Nafkamina? Either way, it's Aser. Either way, it's a Chiyuv Skila. And Nafkamina is exactly Asher's point. Question is, B'makam Pikuach Nefesh. B'makam Pikuach Nefesh, they generally assume that even Kishuv, which is a Chiyuv Skila, is not included in the din of Yahar Val Yavar, but Avodah Zarah obviously is. So if you see this merely as some sort of magical practice, so then it's Aser, but B'makam Pikuach, if Ataka works, either physically works or will work psychologically, so then B'makam Pikuach Nefesh Shemotar. But if you think that's actually a form of Avodah Zarah, it's hard to get good data on the basis for their philosophical basis. If it is in fact a form of Avodah Zarah, or actually more directly Abizrayu Avodah Zarah, so then already it will be Aser even B'makam Pikuach Nefesh. Hold on 1 second.